Mercy and peace be with you today. You're listening to the radio ministry of Living Hope Church. We are a gospel-centered church serving the Grand Junction area. Join us in person for our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning, located at 2840 B and a Half Road in Grand Junction. We also live stream our service, and you can join us at livinghopefree.church. If God has blessed you through this ministry, consider a gift to expand the reach of the gospel across Western Colorado. You may give online at livinghopefree.church or send a donation to Living Hope Church at 2840 B and a Half Road, Grand Junction, Colorado, 81503. Have you ever had unexpected good news that came up? My favorite one of these is finding money in the pockets of your own clothes. It was your money, but you lost it. Probably you didn't know you lost it. Like maybe in the springtime. Things are getting warm, but you're still wearing your jacket for another time or two. And you put some money in the pocket. Then you don't put on the coat again. You put it away in the closet. It's not till later in the fall, when you get the jacket back out, that you reach into the pocket and find an unexpected windfall. In that case, the unexpected good news was there all along. You actually had that money the entire time. It didn't stop being your money just because you weren't sure where it was. But you rejoice in finding that money again. Sometimes you have that experience looking through your freezer. You start trying to find something for dinner, or you think that there was something back there that you wanted, and as you're moving things around, you discover something that you thought had been used up. Now, hey, I didn't realize we had ice cream bars still. You get a little bit excited. What? We have one of those frozen pies from Thanksgiving. We should eat this right now. Those times when you get surprised by something that is going right, perhaps, though, that shouldn't have been as much of a surprise as it was. If you had kept better track of things, you would have known all along. Maybe you would have made use of it all along. An old tool that you find in your toolbox and could have been useful on that last project you did, but you forgot that you had bought one the last time. Sometimes those scenarios backfire. That the unexpected surprise, where you have the thing you need, shows up a little bit too late. You go to the store and you see something you want on sale. So you buy it and you come home. And then you think to yourself, where should this go? And you think of the perfect place, only to look there and find out that the last time there was a sale, you had bought one and already put it in that perfect place. You can berate yourself a little bit. What was I thinking? How come I didn't realize this was going on? Or think of all the work I could have saved if I had just remembered this one thing. And this happens with people as well, where you will be surprised by the people around you having more skills than you knew they had, being more helpful than you thought they could be, having experiences that you didn't know about. When you share a trip that you've gone on and realize the other person has been there as well. Maybe they even know the area better than you do. They could have given you some advice on your trip. Or you return from a vacation and share it with a friend only to find out that they actually have a vacation home right in that area. And it was just sitting empty. You could have stayed there if you had only mentioned it ahead of time. Those times when you think that you may have missed out on something great, and yet at the same time, discovering something new and good. Maybe you worried about something for a long time, only to find out that it had already been solved well in advance. I once tried to trick my daughter in this way. She was having a birthday party, and we had this little cake that we had eaten just for the three of us at the time, for her the night before. But then when the party came, she didn't know about the second large cake for all the friends coming over. Just before we were about to serve the cake, I said, now, wait a second, is this going to be enough cake? We ate almost half of this just last night with the three of us. What should we do with all your friends? But my daughter was not concerned at all. She had a quick solution. Let's just slice the pieces real small. It'll be fine. She was still surprised when we pulled out from the other room a whole cake ready for her friends and her to eat. However these circumstances come up, we can have mixed feelings about them. Seek out ways to respond to them, and I find that in those times, hopefully when those things are going good, part of your response should be to praise God. Sometimes, what we find is that God has been at work in the circumstances around us longer than we knew possible. Before the concern had ever come to our minds, God was working out a solution. The things were going according to His plan all along. We can downplay, in our own mind, God's involvement in things because He does so much work, as it were, behind the scenes. Here we are studying the book of Daniel. We've been in Daniel for a few weeks here, doing a chapter each week. Now we're in Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to split this into two messages. We'll have the first part of Daniel 9, and then the second part, and more in depth on some of the meaning behind this vision of the weeks that we'll see here in the next week. But we'll pick up together reading at the beginning of Daniel 9. Here's what he says. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely, 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned and done wrong, and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rules. We have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To You, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which You have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against You. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against You. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in His laws, which He set before us by His servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed Your law and turned aside, refusing to obey Your voice. And the curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us, because we have sinned against Him. He has confirmed His words, which He spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by Your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that He has done, and we have not obeyed His voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought Your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have made a name for Yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all Your righteous acts, let Your anger and Your wrath turn away from Your city Jerusalem, Your holy hill, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of Your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not, for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work in our lives. We ask that you would work upon us now again, that we would hear this word, this prayer of Daniel, and be stirred up to know you, to love you, to respond to you. That you would let your wisdom through these words touch us today and leave us changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we see the setting of what will become the vision that Daniel sees. In the last half of the chapter, which we will focus on next week, we see the response that God gives, but it is a response that comes from this prayer of Daniel. In the first year of Darius, as he is ruling over the realm of the Chaldeans, Daniel perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem. 70 years. Perhaps Daniel had read of these promises before, that he had seen some of these texts before, but now they meant something a little bit different. You see, Daniel himself had been in exile for a long time. And as he saw in the words of Jeremiah, this exile was not going on forever. Instead, there was a set time for what this would look like. We are told elsewhere that this time of exile makes up for the Sabbath years that the land was supposed to have. That this Sabbath time, where the land was supposed to not be farmed, over 490 years, every seventh year should have been a Sabbath, and they had missed 70 of them. The land would be given its Sabbath rest. Jeremiah, when he was speaking, as Nebuchadnezzar was bringing the people into Babylon, into exile, he brought this message to them. This is in Jeremiah chapter 25. Starting in verse 8, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send for all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord, and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction and make them a horror, a hissing, and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will banish from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the grinding of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then, after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. And then again, Jeremiah brings this message forward in chapter 29. In chapter 29, he says this, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Daniel read of these texts and saw in them the clear statement that it would be for 70 years the people would be in captivity, in exile, under the sway of Babylon, and then Daniel could look at his own life and see how he himself had been sent out to exile. Now, Daniel was at the very beginning of that exile process, before the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple there, before the full exile of the people. Daniel had been part of that first wave. But Daniel himself had been there for almost 70 years. There is some uncertainty regarding the exact way that the numbering of kings' years was done. Just as if you had someone today who started their job in 2020, you could say that was the first year of their work. Even if they started in November 2021, you might consider the second year. Or until November, you might still say it's the first year of their reign. Because of that kind of difference, we know that at this point, Daniel would have been in captivity, in exile, for around 68 years. Looking forward to that 70th year when restoration could happen. Daniel, who would have known about the later destruction of Jerusalem, who would have known about this greater exiling of the people of Judah, Daniel keeps account of when he's been there. And he begins to pray. Pray for God to do a great work in fulfilling the promises that Daniel has read from Jeremiah. The prophecy of God, his promises to his people. Daniel asks for God to do what he said he would do, and to do it generously. To count the 70 years not from the later destruction of Jerusalem, but why not make it 70 years for Daniel? And so Daniel begins to pray. You can see in his prayer the outline of many prayers. He starts in with a time of praising God for his work. In verse 4, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Daniel calls on God as a God of love and mercy, a good God who he is excited to talk to because of what God is capable of and what God has already promised. It is interesting that these promises of God, this faithfulness of God, is what drives Daniel to this prayer in the first place. So often we read the promises of Scripture, the hope that we have through the work of God, and then our response is, well, great, I guess I'll look forward to that in the future. Here, it drives Daniel to pray, to praise God for who he is and what he does. And we see that throughout this chapter. Verse 7, to you, O Lord, belongs righteousness. He understands that God is good. Again, he says in verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. And he praises God for what he has done. O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself. God is a powerful God. He is worthy of our praise, of our adoration. And Daniel especially focuses in on the mercy and love that God has, because for much of the prayer, he moves into this second portion, this portion of confession. You might think that seeing the promises of restoration would spur on a different type of response. But here, knowing that God would fulfill his promise, knowing that the reason for the exile was the unfaithfulness of God's people, that sin was at the root of what kept them out of this land all of this time. That it was the failings of the kings of Israel and Judah that led to the exile that Daniel was in the midst of himself. Knowing what got them to this place, Daniel turns in his prayer to confession. Because it isn't just the restoration of the people into the land, or the rebuilding of the temple that Daniel is looking forward to. But it is his prayer that the people of Israel, the people of Judah, those who are following God, would live the right way, would obey him, would turn from their sins. Because if that problem has not been dealt with, if the sin of God's people has not been dealt with, then getting back into the land is a temporary blessing at best. And so much of what Daniel prays is confession of the sins of the people. Verse 5, "We have sinned and done wrong, and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets." These are people who have sinned in great and small ways. They have made big decisions that were bad and turned away from faithfulness. They have ignored God's messages. And they have made small decisions in their daily lives that keep them from obeying God the way they are called to, acting wickedly and rebelling. In his confession, Daniel does something interesting that perhaps you have not done in your own times of confession to God. In the midst of his calling out the shame that is deserved by the kings and the princes and the fathers in their sin against God, in the midst of saying that it is all of Israel, in verse 11, all of Israel that has transgressed the law of God and turned aside and refused to obey the voice of God, he points back to the history of disobedience. I've never seen this strategy played out by a child. I've known plenty of kids who have got in trouble, and never once have I heard them say, "I'm sorry for what I've done. I really messed up. But think about all the other times I was bad." That's not the response that you normally hear from a kid. If anything, they would remind you of the times that they were good. This is just an aberration. Sure, this time I might have messed up, but think of all the times I did the right thing. Daniel, however, goes back to Moses. Verse 11, "The curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him." Wrapped up in this is God's faithfulness again. God has confirmed his words. He's saying, you told us that we would get in trouble, that these curses would come, and we did not listen, and we sinned anyways. In the midst of this, he says in verse 13, at the heart of the distrust and poor working of the hearts of the people, he's saying that you brought this calamity down upon us, but we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from your iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. The people of Judah, now living in exile, have not turned away and listened to the word of God. In the face of God's work in the world, to point them again to their need to confess the very clear message that they were being brought into exile not because God could not save them, not because God was not strong enough, but because it was his will to remove them from the land he promised because of the curses that he had said ahead of time would come upon them in disobedience. Daniel points back to those days. God brought them out of Egypt. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. God has done great work. We have fallen short of it. In the midst of this, Daniel turns to the request. Having read the promises of God, knowing what God has said is coming up soon, he turns to this, a request that God fulfills his promises. Praying not for a new promise of God, but that God would do what he has already said he is going to do. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, your holy hill. O Lord, according to your righteousness, let your anger and wrath turn away. Listen to the prayer of your servant, to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. This calling out for help in the midst of trouble. Save us, Lord, as you said you will. Incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see the city that is called by your name, the people who are called by your name. Daniel's plea to God, his request to God, is for God to show mercy and grace to his people, those who are called according to his name, that God would receive glory as the people turn from sin according to the confession and the response the people would have in turning from transgressions, and that God would do this mighty work of salvation, but not just in salvation, but in wiping the slate clean. Daniel is looking forward to a day when all things can be set right, when all can be made new, when God's name is lifted up and made great, and God's people are following him in a mighty and pure way. And Daniel ends on that note. In making this request, he says in verse 18, we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness. We are not pure in this, but it was not on our righteousness that we put our hopes. He continues in verse 18, but because of your great mercy, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not. For your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. We pray the same thing today, looking at the promises that God has given us of this generation. That we confess our sins and the sins of this generation, and we call upon the mercy of God and ask him to no longer delay, but to set all things right. For his sake, for the people called by his name. Let us be people who follow God, who know his promises and are prompted by them to turn our hearts again to him, to lift up the land around us and the people of God, and to pray for the work of God's mercy. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Living Hope Church. Join us again next week for another message from God's Word. If you'd like to join us in person, you can do so at 10:30 each Sunday morning at 2840 B&A Half Road. Or you can watch our services live online at livinghopefree.church. Our messages are streamed live each Sunday morning. If you have been encouraged by the message today and would like to support our ministry, you can send a check to Living Hope Church at 2840 B&A Half Road, Grand Junction, Colorado, 81503. Or you can give online at livinghopefree.church. Now, thank you for listening, and may you have grace and peace from Jesus Christ, our Lord.